This episode of Tap and Step is presented by Cover Zero Analytics, the leaders in next-level football data. Cover Zero delivers predictive matchup previews, classification-based grading, and customized analysis to football coaches who want more than the same old breakdown of tendencies. With Cover Zero, football coaches now have a tool that can measure all aspects of their team's performance. Cover Zero is built entirely around smarter data analysis, helping thousands of coaches find winning edges that don't always appear in film study. If you're a football coach looking for an extra advantage, Cover Zero invites you to join the hundreds of premier programs that have taken their scouting intel to the next level. Ready to see how the best teams win? Start with Cover Zero Analytics. Find out more at coverzeroanalytics.com. That's coverzeroanalytics.com. Vinay, are you always this tiny? Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the American side, Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I am the person buying groceries that have tariffs on them now. Matt Step.
Oh, no.
I mean, they do. I mean, I posted the sign on Twitter, so not making a statement either way.
That's a fact of life.
I'm a journalist, and I report the facts.
Tell the news. This is...
Hello from Canada.
This is your Class 2A and Class 1A preview edition in 2025 of Tap and Step. We made it, guys. We made it.
We have made it through the long slog of the off season where we ranked. What did we rank? Did we do any weird rankings this year, or was it pretty much just off season football stuff?
I don't know if we ever. We were supposed to rank, I think, the letters of the alphabet.
Yeah,
I don't think we did that.
We had so much great off season content that we didn't have to do that this year.
We didn't have time. And guess what? And here's the other thing about it. And this is the kind of thing that only you and I. By the way, our producer today is the lovely, talented, and tiny Vianney Moreno. Hi, tiny Vianney Moreno.
Hi, guys. It's me from down here.
She's right down there.
Oh.
And so Steps in Canada. I'm here. All that's to say, the thing that gets me excited about this step is that next year's a realignment year, which means the offseason's way easier.
Yeah, January and February's episodes are already we've already got those ready. We're ready
and
for January.
Like, and half of March.
Yeah, like, we'll do a realignment recap. Yeah,
so. Yeah, exactly right. We'll do a bunch of like realignment, like winners, losers and stuff like that.
Yeah, so really anyway. Like we've got like April and May?
And better? I could do that. Buddy, we've been doing this podcast for like 7 years.
We were forged in non-realignment off-season shows, so we can do this.
This is your 2025 Class 2A and 1A preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or for watching us for free on Wednesday. We've got a whole lot to get to. Please do. With your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week, presented by the greatness of Cover Zero Analytics.
Oh, man. Let me tell you. Cover Zero, our analytics partner. I cannot wait for the season to start and for our buddies from Cover Zero to send us those packages of data to really – you want to talk about nerding out. We're going to nerd out even more now because we're going to have tendencies and we're going to have coaches doing self-scouting. The stuff that they have, I've seen some of the coaches have shared it with me. It's awesome.
It is. They have not sent me talking points yet, so I'm going to read this from their website, but it says pretty much, supercharge your team with analytics. Coaches and staffers can supercharge their team's film review, game planning, and strategy by plugging in existing data in Cover Zero's proprietary data tool. It's coverzeroanalytics.com. Go check it out if you're a coach and you're listening to us, or you're just like a nerd like us and you want to dig into the data. CoverZeroAnalytics.com is where to go.
Those are your guys. If you're a Texas high school football coach and you're looking for an analytics data partner or you have one and you're not super happy with it, you need to talk to Cover Zero. These guys work with a lot of big time programs, and they can come up with a package that I think works for you and your program. It's pretty awesome stuff.
They know ball for sure. So CoverZeroAnalytics.com. Thanks to Cover Zero for being
my guy, Jacob McNeil, certified ball knower. Certified ball knower.
Absolutely. Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. Think back to last year. It was Thursday morning at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, and we watched a certified heater, a certified banger, as Ganado won their first ever state championship 30-28 over Stanford in triple overtime.
Yes.
It was the longest overtime game in UIL state championship history. Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, there are only two other multiple overtime state championship games. What are they? Or you can even just say who won.
I believe there was one back in 2004 between Denton Ryan and Lamarck.
Let's see. That is, I believe that's correct. Yes. I think there's three. That's not marked on my calendar, but yes, that's correct.
Denton Ryan and Lamarck. Mm-hmm. I remember that one.
2004?
2004. Yeah. Or 2003. That was 2003.
Did Argyle and Navasota go to multiple overtimes?
They did. Yeah. They did go to multiple overtimes. That was a multiple
That was 2015?
2014, because it was at AT&T.
Okay, 2014.
That was the Trendavion-Dixon
show. That's right. That was Trendavion-Dixon v. Nick Ralston.
And remember, Nick Ralston was such a badass in that game. Yeah. And remember the quarterback for Navasota?
Shelton Epler.
Boy, a dog.
Sicko. These are some sickos. Yeah. Denton Ryan Lamarck was part. Denton Ryan went to four straight state championship games from 2001 to 2004. They won in 02 and 03. Mm-hmm. They lost in 01 to Bay City and in 04 to Lamarck. So I remember those Denton Ryan teams very vividly. The other one, man.
The other one. I believe if I have it correct, it was the first multiple overtime game. Matt Stepp, 2002, 3A Division II state championship.
I was at that game, Tatum and Farmersville, right?
No.
Tatum. Okay, never mind. That was only one overtime. Okay, go ahead.
Bandera 27, Midland Greenwood 24.
Ah, yes. Well, I don't remember that game very vividly because I was a little bit busy watching my Everman Bulldogs win a state championship in 2002 at the very same time. So forgive me if I was not super heads up on Bandera Greenwood. So I was watching E-Block win a state championship. E-Block,
bring it home. V&A, you are too young to remember that there was a time where the state championships were not held in one place. And in fact, there were multiple state championship games going on at once.
That's yes.
Insane.
You would have now to it seems crazy, right?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you'd have to, it was literally, you would have to wait until the week of to figure out where your Everman played their first state championship game at Kyle Field in College Station. And then the second year they played it at the Alamo Dome. So state championships, there were games going on all day Saturday at different times. You were lucky if you could get to two state championship games in one year. Like, it was hard to see more than one or two.
Were they at least like in close proximity to each other, or were like,
No.
Oh my goodness.
No, there'd be games at Shotwell Stadium in Abilene also a game in the Alamo Dome.
NRG, Texas Stadium.
Maybe all over the place. Yeah. And by the way, like the network, which was then,
was it either Fox Sports Southwest
or maybe the HSE? It might have been in those days.
Jeez, HSE,
where they would like broadcast like only one.
They'd broadcast like one of the 5A at the time. There wasn't even 6A; it was 5A. Yeah, they broadcast one of the 5A games. Yeah.
So, anyway, there it is. Your Texas high school football.
I did pretty good. 2 out of 3. It's not bad. Yeah.
Fun fact of the week presented by our friends at Cover Zero Analytics. All right, Matthew, it's time to get down to business. It's time.
Let's do it.
For football season, because football season is nigh upon us. We are going to be breaking up our state championship preview into 4 different podcasts. Okay. So this is your 1A and 2A preview. Then we're going to do a 3A and 4A preview. Then we're going to do standalone 5A and 6A previews.
Okay.
We are going to give you all of the content you could possibly want in the lead up to the 2025 Texas high school football season. And we will start, we'll go smallest to largest. It's only fair, right? So we will start, although this year, you know what stinks is that this is a year where the Division One team plays before the Division Two team in the state championships.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and
you want to go in order? You want to do that? We'll go D1 yeah, first, D2.
No, second. We're going to go D2. No, fix this UIL. This is fixable.
It really like, is.
But I know why they do it. And it's specifically for, we're going to talk about 2A here in a minute. It's for 2A. It's so that if you are 2A Division II, you're not always playing on Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's the one. I get it. But we could just do 2A and rotate, but the rest of the classes we could not rotate.
Right. Anyway. Okay. All right. That's I'm off my soapbox. We are going to start.
I'm gonna write a letter to the UIL right now. Write a letter.
We're going to start in 1A Division II. 1A Division II, for those who do not remember, the reigning state champions, the Jayton Jaybirds, who were spectacular last year and ran to a 15-0 mark and were, you know, deserving state champions. They knocked off Oakwood, kind of surprising Oakwood in that state championship game, ran away with it and got the state championship. And lo and behold, they start the year, Jayton does, as our favorites to repeat. And they bring back eight, and this is going to be, by the way, a common theme on this in six-man football this year, is that the Kangs stay the Kangs, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Jayton brings back eight starters total. Now, you might be thinking eight starters, that doesn't sound like very much. Well, in six-man football,
it's two-thirds.
It's two-thirds of your team. Yeah. They bring Matt Stepp, they graduated two lettermen.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not a math guy, but I believe that's the equivalent in UIL 11 man of bringing back like 14 starters.
Right.
Roughly.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not like it's some dudes who are coming by. They bring back Bodie Ham, their running back. They bring back Sean Stanland, who was really good, an all-state quarterback for them last year. They are experienced, they are explosive, they are the team to beat in 1A Division II. Now, I will say, dissimilar from what we're going to talk about in 1A Division I in a minute, I do think that there are some real challenges that they will face, including within their own region. We'll go region by region. We'll start with region one. In region one, they're going to have to deal with the number two team in this, in region one, they're going to have to deal with they're in region two, I should say. Region one, they're going to have to deal with Klondike. Klondike is the number two team in the state. Dalton DeGraff and Reed, who I remember watching him play at Klondike, and that makes me very sad. He's their head coach. This is a team that was really remarkable last year because they started the year like 0-4, and because they played an absolutely brutal non-district schedule, and they'll do that. I think they play all
common with the six-man D2 teams, especially. They'll play like, because they're playing all the really good D1 teams.
Right. And especially because in six-man football, a lot of these teams are spread out really far. So it's like, okay, well, you're nearby and you might be D1 and also you might be really good. And so they ran through a gauntlet and ended up with the ultra-rare 9-5 record. They ran all the way to the state semifinals. They look really, really good once again. And I love what they bring back. Jared Quintanilla, kind of leading the charge. They bring back all but one player. They graduated one letterman from last year's team. I will say that if they were to slip, it's probably going to be Motley County or Whit Harrell. Motley County is interesting. They bring back a ton. They bring back nine starters from last year's team. That's a team that I've got my eye on. Same thing with Whit Harrell. They bring back nine starters as well. Although they ran into, I believe they got knocked off in the first round. Yeah, they got upset in the first round of the playoffs by Sands last year. So I still look at Klondike as your favorite, but Motley County and Whit Harrell are not too far behind. Region two is where Jayton lives, and they do look like the team to beat in region two. I think pretty clearly the team to beat there. I think right now we're kind of all waiting for that Jayton Klondike rematch in a state semifinal. Last year, Jayton won it handily, but I think it could be closer this year. If it's not Jayton, it's probably going to be a team we haven't talked about in a minute, which is, remember Benjamin? Benjamin, remember how all this time, remember the six-man preview we had last year where it was all about Grayson Rigdon?
Yep.
Well, Benjamin ended up having a really good year. Like, I think that people kind of maybe didn't pay attention to him after that, but they ran all the way to the quarterfinal and lost to Jayton in the regional final. They bring back Keegan Hayes. Keegan Hayes, and this is, okay, this is video game numbers. Keegan Hayes accounted for 4,365 yards and 73 touchdowns last year.
That's ridiculous. That's crazy.
And he is back. And then you add in, when you look at Region 2, you add in a team like Blackwell, which is interesting. They got a ton of speed. The record was ugly last year, but it's because they punched up significantly in non-district. But they are, I think, the team. I think that they could be a real breakout team there in Region 2. But in the end, Jayton does feel like the clear favorite on that left side of the bracket. On the right side of the bracket, Region 3 did produce the single most shocking state finalist maybe in Texas high school football history last year when Oakwood showed up in the state championship. Five loss Oakwood showed up in the state championship. And by the way, like, I know, like, we've just talked a lot about these teams that were that like had ugly records and stuff like that. Guys, Oakwood was not, they weren't like Klondike. Klondike was a team that as the season was going on, we could kind of tell, it's like, okay, guys, they're way better than the record indicates. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Gunner in the next episode. Gunner is a team that really could start like 1-3 because their record's so brutal. But y'all are going to be real mad at us because we're going to have Gunner ranked like number 2 in the state at 1-3. Mm-hmm. Oakwood was not that.
Yeah, I remember you talking about Oakwood just even last year, and just it was like, what are you guys doing here?
Oakwood came out of nowhere to win that game, to win it. And look, they knocked off, you know, some pretty good teams. They knocked off Iredell. I think a lot of it is that Region 3 really went into the blender early when Iredell knocked off Strawn. That ended up kind of, you know, throwing everything for a loop. And so as a result, that opened up for Oakwood, who kind of had this like lower scoring kind of plodding attack. It all kind of worked out for them. And look, they could do it again. They finished the regular season 5-5. They will, although, like, again, it's hard to predict a Cinderella like Oakwood was. There are two teams in Iredell and Strawn that look much more like ready for prime time. And they've got the pedigree. Mm-hmm. They're ready. I mean, I look at Strawn, who brings back every player from last year's team.
Like a good strategy if you can do that.
And Dwayne Lee, one of the best coaches in six-man football, a guy with state championship pedigree himself. I think they're your favorite in Region 3. And then you look in Region 4. Region 4 is where things get really interesting because you have the number 3, 4, and 5 teams all crammed in to Region 4. You have Richland Springs, who is back, capital B back. They're going to be a problem this year. Richland Springs is going to be really good. Billy Perry, Cohen Etheridge, they're going to be really, really strong.
Is Jerry Burkhart back coaching them, or is his suspension lifted?
So that is something I've been trying to run down.
Okay,
The God's honest question. I don't know. Because I don't know. His suspension was such that it was 3 years.
Yeah.
But I know he was suspended in the – this would be 3 years. Like, this would be the third season. But I don't know if, like – what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know if it starts from when you were suspended because it was mid-season.
Sure, yeah. That's the timing could be. Mm-hmm. You have to put the six-man mafia on that so you can find out. I'm sure the six-man message boards will have full coverage of that. We'll be able
to. But they're going to be really, really strong. Oglesby was a team that we thought was going to make it back in the state championship game. They were the team that got stunned by Oakwood in the semifinals. They will need to replace Kyler Fawcett, who was so good for them. And then you have Cherokee. Cherokee is a team that has been consistently excellent. They're going to be really big, which is something obviously six-man teams, if you don't know, don't tend to have. But they bring back 10 starters from last year's team. Cherokee and Richland Springs are more finished products right now. Oglesby is a team like they've got the pedigree. They've still got 8 starters back, but they're missing the guy. And so if you're asking me right now what 1A Division 2 looks like, in Region 1, I'm going to go with Klondike. In Region 2, I'm going to go with Jayton. In Region 3, I'm going to go with Strawn. Iredell is knocking on the door, but I think Strawn is your favorite there. And then in Region 4, I'm going to go with Richland Springs, although Cherokee, that's a big rivalry there. And I could see if they meet in the playoffs, that game getting wacky. And in a state championship game, give me Jayton over Strawn in the 1A Division 2 state championship. So there you have it. There's the smallest classification in 1A UIL football. We move, Matthew, to 1A Division 1. And this is where we have to have a dialogue about right now, what is the preeminent preeminent dynasty in Texas high school football is Gunner, right? Active.
I mean, do we count Carthage as one dynasty or multiple
That's
dynasties?
That's a good question.
You know, I would probably say Carthage or Alito.
Okay.
Carthage or Alito, personally.
Okay. So you think you would say that we are still in the midst of Carthage and Alito dynasties, even though there have been gaps. It's,
yeah, but the gaps have been a year small. Or two.
One, 2 years.
Gunner's had a couple of 1 or 2 year gaps there, you know. So, yeah, I'd say if you go like 3 years.
I will tell you that in six-man football right now, it is Gordon's world, and we are all just living in it.
Yeah, Gordon. That's facts.
Gordon last year. There is a real argument to be made that they were pound for pound the best team in Texas high school football last year.
I think pound for pound, there's a strong argument to be made for that.
They played one fourth quarter all year, and it was in the semifinal against Abbott. And they were just crushing teams, every team in their path, they were crushing. And I go back to 2023 when they met Westbrook in the title game. And I remember the narrative going to that game was, this is either the last year of the Westbrook dynasty or it's the first year of the Gordon dynasty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is perhaps, I don't want to say anything that's going to make Mike Reed mad. This is probably the big grand finale of what has been a historic run for Gordon.
Agreed.
Because they have three guys on their team that are legit FBS players. I know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's 100%. I've seen the tape. I've talked to coaches. Yeah. They have three guys who there is a decent chance at minimum will play FCS college football.
Yes.
And there might be a couple that play FBS college at signing, and they could end up going to the next. These are guys that could go start and play at Alito.
Yes. Yes. Rye Reed.
Down the road. They could play at Alito.
Rye Reed is already committed to play for Army. Stryker Reed is actually committing on the Dave Campbell's Texas football airwaves on Wednesday. So if you're watching this, he just committed on our air. On Wednesday.
So tell us in the comments where he committed to.
Yeah. And then Braden Walters, their wide receiver, to hear Mike Reed say it, he'll say, like, he's just as good as them. Like, he's just as good. They have this three-headed monster that just, quite frankly, no one else in six-man football has. And it makes them arguably, and we'll talk through all classifications, I think they are the prohibitive favorite of any classification anywhere in the state.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think if you were to put a sports gun to my head and say you got to pick one team that's going to win state,
yes,
you know, or you know, whatever, you know, you get to quit your job tomorrow. I would put my money on Gordon. Like out of all classifications, you know, they're playing 2 11-man football games this year.
They are, and
check
TexasFootball.com
for that story. I wrote, by the way, Matt Stepp wrote a 6-man story, Tepper.
And by the way, they're not playing lunch meat. Like, they're not playing like teams that went 0-10 last year.
No.
They're playing good teams.
Yeah, Brackettville, I think, went to the second round of the playoffs last year, and Thorndale may have as well. Thorndale was a competent 11-man football
team. Very competent 2A Division One, right? Brackettville's 2A D1.
I believe both of them are Division One.
I mean, they're punching way up and they're putting extra guys in the field. It'll be a lot of fun. But when they get into six-man football, in my opinion, there is a pretty large gulf between them and everyone else. That's my opinion. Now, going through region by region, you start in region one, and it's the team they beat in the state semifinal or state championship game last year, which was Whiteface. Whiteface, it's a great story. Shout out to our friend Matt Wilson. They've got a lot of the nuts and bolts, although they lost a lot of the star power. They have a lot of the nuts and bolts to get back there. But I do think that they're going to be, they've got one of the toughest districts in 1A Division One. In District Three, they'll have to deal with Borden County, who is a team with plenty of pedigree and brings back a ton of guys, including Ty Stipe, their quarterback. I would also keep an eye on Buena Vista, is a team that crashed out in the first round of the playoffs last year. They lost to the aforementioned Borden County because that's the crazy thing is that if you're Borden County, if you finish second in your district, you're playing a district champion.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the six-man playoffs is because it's only mm-hmm. 32 teams, so it's you're playing tough teams a lot of times right off the bat.
Water Valley in Region 2 is probably your favorite. Boston Weiss is like a two-way star. There's always going to be a couple of six-man guys who just become household names. Boston Weiss, I think it's Weiss, is one of those guys. He's spectacular. I would also tell you to keep an eye on Newcastle. Newcastle's a team that we've got high hope for 11 starters back from last year's team. And the trajectory has been really, really strong for them. If they're able to continue that trajectory, they'll be very difficult to beat. And then there's Westbrook. Look, you cannot count out Westbrook. They bring back Homer Matlock has some rebuilding to do, just four starters back from last year's team, but coaching matters a lot, and he's one of the best coaches in six-man football. Three, we go where. So I will spoil something that if you're watching this, you will have seen on TexasFootball.com already. And that is that Region 3 has the single best, in my opinion, the single best district game in six-man football this year, which is when Aquila plays Abbott.
Okay.
That is number 4-5 versus number 7 in the state. And I wrote this in the magazine. There's basically four teams you can say with pretty good confidence, I think they're going to win Region 3. Region 3 is like the fireworks factory.
Sure.
You've got Aquila. They bring back a ton of talent, including 9 starters from last year's team. You've got Union Hill out of the greater area. EJ Mowry is their superstar. He's awesome. Abbott, they won the region last year, and Coach Crawford has done a terrific job down there, taking over for his father, but they do have reloading to do. They bring back just 2 starters. Their entire offense got wiped. And then you could make a case for Avalon. Avalon was a team, which is a kind of a newcomer to the big name game here. Avalon has a 2,000-yard rusher in Josh Novak. They've got some dudes back there in District 9. And the other thing is that I think they have the better district draw out of District 9. They'll have to deal with Milford at some point. I think Avalon is a team to keep an eye on in Region 3. I love Region 3. Region 3 is going to be a lot of fun. Like all of those regional semifinals, like starting even the first round, but even those regional, those second round games are going to be really good. And then Region 4 is Gordon. If they were going to get beat within their region, May is probably the team to do it with Kobe Morris back. Mm-hmm. I do love Jonesboro because Eddie Gallegos is my guy. But they lost all but 2 lettermen from last year's team. They've got some reloading to do. To me, you look at Gordon as a prohibitive favorite, at least in their region. And so,
yeah, I think Gordon losing would be an upset at any round. Losing in the region would be pretty maybe the biggest upset.
And by the way, like that's like May,
the other team.
No, but, I like May a lot, but like in that region, it's like, buddy, like it is basically how long can we avoid Gordon is the name of the game in 1A Division 1. So if you're asking me for my state championship picks, Region 1, I'm going to go with Borden County. I think that they get some revenge last year, and I think they win I think that they've got the star power to get over the top of Whiteface this year. Region 2, I'm going to go with Water Valley. Really like what they have coming back. I love Boston Weiss. Region 3, I'm going to go with Aquila just because Abbott has so much like rebuilding to do, but I also like Union Hill a lot. And then Region 4, it's got to be Gordon. And then your state championship game, I'm going to go with Gordon over Water Valley in a state championship game in 1A Division I. That'll be the first state championship game we play at AT&T Stadium on a Wednesday in 6 months. Remind me I said this. DNA, remind me I said this.
Gordon versus Water Valley. Tepper's calling.
Gordon versus Water Valley. You heard it here first. Yep. You heard it here first. That wraps up six-man football. We will now start with 11-man football and start in 2A Division II. And Matt Stepp has already made the reigning state champ at 2A Division II their head coach real mad. We got a text message today from
disrespect season is in full effect.
From Brady Carney, the head coach of the Munster Hornets. Who said something along the lines, you have a piece up on Text to Walter Conf, like 10 bold predictions for the year.
Yes, yes. Please
and
read
you
it.
Said that neither Munster nor Shiner would make it back to the state championship game.
Bold prediction, I know.
Now, bold. I don't think you're crazy, but I don't agree with you.
That's fair. These are definitely, I don't know if I'd go to Vegas on all of these. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 10 of them. They're bold for a reason because I think they are, you know, I think they're a little... They're not chalky by any means. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think all of them will hit, but I think they all have. I think you can make a case. I don't think any of the 10 that I picked are just crazy outlandish picks. And make no mistake about it, I think Munster is the favorite in their region, in Region 2, in 2A Division 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, Case and Carney coming back, they're going to be really, really strong. But Tepper, I think this Winthors team is really poised to do some damage this year. I have really high on Winthors going into the season.
Now, and I will say to your credit, it's not like Winthors is some fly by night team that we've never talked about. I mean, this is a team that remember pulled off one of the greater state championship upsets we've ever seen back in 2020 when they knocked off Mart. I do like this Winthors team, but, and we'll go region by region. I look at Munster and actually kind of broadly, I look at Munster as a team that can win it, but I also look at 2A Division II and especially like that top 13 or so in our rankings. And I'm like, man, I think there's a lot of really good, really experienced, really explosive teams in 2A Division II.
2A Division II for a long time has really been like four or five teams that we pretty much know. I think this year is as deep of a year across the classification as we've seen in quite some time. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think there's going to be a lot of good. I'm really fascinated to see kind of how things shake out in 2A Division II. And again, and also, there's a lot of X factor. You know, obviously, 2A Division II is the classification with the least amount of depth because these are the smallest schools that are playing 11-man football, and we don't want to talk about that. But a lot of these teams, one injury could really change their dynamics of the team. I'm not going to say any. I don't want to jinx anybody or say, well, this kid gets hurt because it's going to change this team. Just know, if any team in 2A Division II, one key injury can completely derail the season because a lot of times when you lose one guy, you're losing two guys because they're playing both sides of the ball. So that's the other thing to keep an eye on. There's a lot of wild cards here in 2A Division II because of the injury factor.
So let's start in Region 1. The winners of Region 1 last year was the Groover Greyhounds.
A little bit of a surprise.
A little bit of a surprise there to win it. And I'll tell you, when I look at 2A Division 2 Region 1, I really do like this Groover team a lot and what they have coming back, especially at the skill position spots. The question I have is going to be up front because I know that they are. It took some hits there.
Brick Satterfield is tremendous. Love him.
He's so much fun to watch.
He's got a lot of playmakers. They've got a great linebacker and Victor Flores, who had a great junior season. Groover was a little bit of a surprise last year. I think most of us kind of thought Stratford would kind of do the Stratford thing, and Groover took them down in the regular season. So, well, but I think there's a lot of challengers to Groover in Region 1. Region 1's deep.
To your point, I think it's really interesting you were talking about injuries. Like, and I don't know if Bryce Braden was officially injured, but like he took a he carried a huge load for a long time, and Groover I think stayed fresher and they were more diverse. Mm-hmm. I think that was that allowed them to get the better of Stratford.
I don't think they would ever admit it, but I bet Bryce Braden was never 100% last year point in the season. You know, no. I just don't think he was.
If it's not Groover though, the team I keep coming back to, there's two. And the cool thing is that I think that they're there's good district balance here. They're not all crammed into one district. Mm-hmm. One of them's Wink.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, we saw their coach at
Imad Fasciani,
but it's not Fasciani. I think it's Fachan. I need to call him again.
He called Brian Gibson. Yeah,
and I've been saying it wrong, but he's unbelievable. He's so good. I love
Wink has been knocking on the door a lot the past 3 to 4 years. If they're going to break through to the mm-hmm. semifinals, I think this is the year. They've got the pieces to do it because they've got the running back. They've got a lot. Coach Brian Gibson. They've got a ton coming back. Mm-hmm. This is as deep and as talented a team as Wink has ever had.
16 starters coming back from a team that played on Thanksgiving last year, mm-hmm. but the team they lost to, Matthew, are you in on Ropes? The Ropesville Ropes Eagles, who last year were, I think, kind of didn't come out of nowhere, but like they doubled their win total. And then suddenly now they bring back 12 starters from a team that was
12-2. You
know, that was a couple plays away from a regional title.
Yeah, Bo Riker did a great – I think this was his first year there at Ropes, and he did a great job at that program. Ropes is going to be interesting because they are on that fast growth corridor right there south of Lubbock. They were six-man not too long ago. They're probably going to be Division I in the next realignment, kind of like New Home. Ropes and New Home are right next to each other, and they're both getting a lot of growth. So Ropes is going to have a numbers edge in a lot of ways in 2A Division II that's gonna help them out a lot. I think they're right there. I think, in my opinion, Region I is a three-horse race between Groover, Ropes, and Wink, with some teams kind of on the periphery that I think could potentially, on the right day, make a little noise. We're talking Stratford. We're talking Hale Center. You know, I even think you can make a case for like a team like Ira Ann, who's got a ton of guys coming back. But I think you've got kind of tiers in Division One and Region One, and I think your top tier is that threesome of Groover, Ropes, and Wink.
I will say, if you want a team to dream on here, and this is serious dreaming, but I like what Sundown has coming back. Sundown record was ugly last year. Ugly, ugly, ugly. 3-8. Mm-hmm. But they bring back 18 starters from last year's team. And especially they're going to be really good in the guts. Like they're going to be good up front. And if they can find some playmakers, like that's a team that, especially like, you know, that District 3, I would say District 3 is probably the most manageable. You have Ropes at the top, but then it's between them, Seagraves, Tahoka, it feels like a real...
Tahoka lost a ton. Tahoka had kind of one of their great years last year. Hey, and it's good to be good in the guts. If you're good in the guts, you're going to win some football games.
Yes. Okay, to Region 2 we go. Region 2 is where you will find Munster. And Munster is, I think, they start the pole position. I think they should, because they bring back enough to be the as reigning state champs. And most importantly, they bring back Kaysen Carney, who I think is the best player in 2A.
He's been getting it done this is what, his fourth year starter? He's at least started part of his freshman year. And yeah, he was the best player in 2A Division II last year. He took that Munster team and a lot of times put him on his back, you know, and, I mean, 34 touchdowns passing, and I think he had 20 plus rushing. I think the skill guys are there for Munster. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. That's what everyone talks about. They've got all the headliners back at the skill positions. Mm-hmm. But I think the question is going to be for Munster. They did take some losses up front. And how do they replace those losses in the trenches? It's going to tell the tale, especially when you have a veteran team like Winthorst, who brings a lot more back than Munster does. That's going to be the key. And that's kind of why I thought, okay, Winthorst may have a chance to take Munster down because of the experience, especially in the trenches.
Well, and the other thing is that, like, if you are Munster, like, you are in Do I want to say this? Yeah. This is the toughest region in 2A Division 2, in my opinion, pretty clearly.
We haven't even mentioned Albany yet, you know?
Albany with Denny Faith on the sideline again, and like, you know, they're reloading, like they bring back 16 starters. And then, by the way, the call is coming from inside the house, or in this case, inside the district. Dude, I am ready for the Collinsville narrative. I'm ready.
They've been knocking on the door the past couple of years.
Jackson Jenkins, dude. Yeah. Holy cow.
They've been getting close, and they've been, you know, they have experience. They always have the high flying offense. So yeah, I think Region 2, without question, it, from top to bottom, is your, there's more landmines in Region 2. I mean, we haven't talked about Wellington and Wheeler up in the Panhandle. Mm-hmm. They're very good football teams. I think even you look at like teams like Lindsay, mm-hmm. Roscoe, I think this region overall, top to bottom, has a lot of landmines. And I'm saying, you know, Munster, all due respect, they are the team to beat. They won the mm-hmm. state championship last year. They've got the skill guys back. I just think the road is a lot tougher this year for them.
Over to Region 3, where, first and foremost, like, Mart didn't win the region. Like, that's every time that does it, every Mart time got that happens.
Beat in the second round.
Yeah. Every time that happens, it's worth noting. And in fact, it was Bremond who won the region. And Bremond, who gave Shiner trouble in that semifinal.
Which is why I didn't. We'll talk about Bremond in a minute. There's a reason why I don't have Shiner in a state championship game next year.
Bremond brings back every starter on defense. Every starter on defense. And they've got Tank Scott. And Tank Scott, an early nominee for the Dudes Rock Player of the Year.
Yeah, he's going to be on Dudes Rock Watch every week. Yeah, Bremond, 19 starters back, 11 on defense. This is a loaded Bremond squad. This is a team that took Shiner to the limit, and they've got a coach's kid at quarterback in Sam Kosowski. So you have a coach's kid at quarterback. You have a ton of talent from a team that went five rounds deep last year. I think Bremond is the big favorite in Region 3, which is weird to say because Mart lives there, but I think this is a Mart team that's retooling, and I think Bremond's the clear favorite.
Well, and let's talk about Mart, because Mart is in a bit of a reset, and like they are the, I mean, even though they lost last year, Mart is the team of record in Region 3. Like they've earned that right to be the team of record. And so they're worth talking about. New coach, you and I praised it on this show whenever they hired Chris Lancaster. Like, ball knowing dude, been successful everywhere he's been. The stage is not going to be too big for him, but it is going to be different. And it's not, he's inheriting a team with good talent. Like, they've got 14 starters back, but it's not one of those Mart teams that brings back 18 starters and seven all state.
And
counts.
They don't have that guy that's the headliner that we all talk about from Mart. I think this is one of those times where if you're going to get your licks in on Mart, you better get him in this year. I think Lancaster is going to have him going. But I think this is going to be a little bit of a reset year. When I look at Region 3, Tepper,
I know exactly where you're going.
Where my eyes go right to 11-2A Division 2.
So much fun.
That is for 2A Division 2 to have a district that looks like this is crazy. The sixth place team in 11-2A Division 2 would win the district and other districts in 2A Division 2. Like, Tinnehaw and Alto, I have them out of the playoffs. You take Tinnehaw and Alto and put them at other districts, and they can win the district. This is a loaded district. You got Kagan Ash there at Mount Enterprise, and I'm not even picking them to win the district. I think it goes through Lovelady. Lovelady's got a loaded group of juniors. I had a coach tell me in the region last year that Lovelady, their freshman and sophomore groups were as good as he's ever seen. Those guys are starting to grow up. Lovelady's a team to watch.
I'll go even further. I don't think, and I love Kagan Ash. I believe he was a Dudes Rock finalist last year, and he'll do it again this year. I don't even have Mount Enterprise finishing second.
It's crazy. You got Grapeland second?
I like Grapeland a lot, man. Yeah. 10-win team. They got to do themselves. Malik Johnson, who's got crazy numbers himself. He and a guy who is like, in hearing from Coach Jordan Wood there, this is a guy, he missed his entire sophomore year with knee injury. And basically, like, they were easing him back in. And, like, each week it was like, oh, he's, like, leveling up.
They're unleashing him this year.
Yeah, they're unleashing Malik Johnson. And then I think you're right. District 11 is crazy.
You got Overton. I got Overton fourth in the district. That's the team that beat Martin in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
That's how good this district is. It is insane to have a district that good in Class 2A Division 2.
Yeah, District 11 is ludicrous. But I do, I think I do agree with you. We'll get to our picks here in a minute. But Bremond, I think, looks like the most complete team and the team to beat, especially coming off of a regional title themselves. Mm-hmm. And then there's Region 4. And Region 4 does feel like a little bit more, let me put it to you this way. I still think Shiner should be the favorite in Region 4. I think they bring back enough that, to me, makes them a team that can go back. They bring back Quincy Jones, the running back spot. They bring back Jake Semper at the quarterback spot.
He's going to take over. Yeah, that's the key for Shiner to me. How does Jake's – we're talking about an offense that is the veer – you know, but quarterback is key in that offense because you're the operator of that offense and you have to be able to run the ball. They graduated a great quarterback at Shiner. That's the key. I think everywhere else, I have confidence Shiner is going to be really good. It's how Jake Semper adjusts to being the guy at quarterback.
Well, and because here's the funny thing, and this is now the way that we think. You're now getting into the belly of the beast here. What I look at is because of the way that the bracket breaks. If you like that game between Shiner and Fall City, which I think is, I'm writing a story about the best I've got somewhere.
Well, they're in the same district, aren't they?
Yes, they're in the same district.
So if they are. That's a regional final, right?
That's a district game. But the thing is, so that's October 17th. The loser of that game is going to see Junction in the second round.
Very good Junction team. Great quarterback really there at Junction. I talked to Coach Scott Freeman there at State 7-on-7, and they're
Chasing
really
Doyle.
They had a great year last year, went 13-1. Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, Junction took Fall City out last year, so you have to look at it. Going back to Shiner real quick, one thing about Semper taking over at quarterback is now you're taking him off the defense. He was one of your best defensive backs last year. He'll probably still play some defense, but can he play full-time like he did last year? But Shiner has Quincy Jones, and they have Jarvis Williams. Jarvis Williams, remember, he got hurt in the Munster game. He was that sensational freshman for Shiner. He caught a long touchdown pass and then broke his arm catching a long pass, I think, in the second quarter of that game. And when he got hurt, it really hurt Shiner's explosive ability. Getting Jarvis Williams back for his sophomore year, I think he's the next big thing to come out of Shiner.
So what's interesting, I think, about Region 4 is that I do think you have this, like, really nice, like, this is going to sound disrespectful, but, like, this next tier of teams, Granger, Brackettville, Burton, Lavia, right? Teams that, like, they're going to ruin, like, those teams, they're going to ruin someone's season. Like, they're good enough that, like.
How about Somerville? Somerville had like one of their best seasons ever last year. They had a great year. The Yeguas. Shout out to the Somerville Yeguas.
Yeah. Put some respect on the horses' names. But that is between them, Iola. It's a deep region, but it does feel like at some point somebody's gonna have to knock off Shiner. And like I don't necessarily see that right now where I sit.
Yeah, another thing to watch with Shiner, snapshot days coming up in October. The Shiner moved back to Division One. They got in a surprise bump down to Division Two by like half a student. They bump back up to Division One, and they're no longer Division Two's problem anymore.
We will see how much the that part of the state we'll see how many extra people are working at the brewery. Basically,
that's right. That's right.
You know, we'll find out. All right, well, give me your regional picks and your state champion. These are legally binding.
All right, I'm gonna go. Region One, I'm gonna go with Wink. Gonna get fun with it and go Wink. Region Two, I made the bold prediction. I'm gonna go Winthorst. Okay. I made the bold pick. I'm gonna go Winthorst. Region Three, I'm gonna go Bremond. And Region Four, I'm going to go Shiner. And for my state champion, give me the Bremond Tigers.
Wow. Okay.
On Bremond.
All right. With most of that, Region One, I do like Wink. I think I'm in on Wink. Region Two, I'm going to go with Munster. They got the crown and they got the guy. Like, that to me is enough. Region three, I am going to go with Bremond. I like that team a lot. I like Tank Scott a lot. In region four, I'm going to go with Shiner. They look like the favorite in region four. And in a state championship game, give me Munster over Bremond. I think Munster goes back to back. I think they got a special player in Case and Kearney. That is, that's why I think of 2A Division two. Right. Other than that, no thoughts on 2A Division two.
Nothing.
No, just nothing. We haven't thought about to 2A Division one while we round out this responsibly timed podcast. 2A Division one. On the whole, so last year, Ganado won the state championship. And we've talked for a while about how 2A Division 1 kind of runs through Region 4. You know, last year, of course, we got that great state championship game between Ganado and Stanford. Ganado essentially went wire to wire as our number one team. And I'll be honest, in hindsight, like, now it's like, hey, great move. That was a smart call. Like, we were right on it. They were close in the year before, kind of surprised some people, knocked off Refurio in that regional final, and then got Terry Busseed, come back loaded for Bear, they're back. They do have some pretty significant reloading to do. They only bring back five starters from that state championship team. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that our number one team to start the year is a familiar foe. The Refurio Bobcats start the year at number one. Here's a positioning statement. I have no idea what's going to happen in 2A Division One.
It's pretty wide open. I think there's a lot of questions across the board. I think that makes the classification interesting and fun. But I think last year we had a clear-cut number one, and I don't think we have a clear-cut number one going into 2025.
No. We'll talk about Refurio when we get there, but I think when you take a look at 2A Division 1, you're exactly right. Last year, it was Ganado, and if it wasn't Ganado, there are a couple of other teams, including Stanford, that you could say, that's the team. This year, we have Refurio number one, but you could tell me like 14 different teams won the state championship, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, I can mm-hmm. see that.
I agree.
And there's actually, we'll talk about different regions. We'll start with Region 1. Region 1, Stanford won Region 1 last year. And what a remarkable homecoming it was for Wayne Hutchinson. But they face a very similar situation from Ganado. As Ganado, that was a real senior-heavy team. They graduate 20 lettermen, which in 2A Division 1 is a ton. Mm-hmm. And I believe they're going to have to find a new quarterback, right?
Yeah, Stanford lost a lot across the board. They graduated pretty heavy. They've Caston Vega, that whole crew, mm-hmm. a lot of that senior class, a lot of 3-year starters have moved on and graduated.
And so now you go and you look at who else could it be? Let's say for the sake of argument, it is not Stanford. Then who could it be? I look at a team like Panhandle. I like what they have coming back. I think that they've got the dude at QB1 in Broxton Robinson, right? I think right now, if you were basing your picks for the region off of which team has the single best player, Panhandle's your pick because they got Broxton Robinson. However, it's not all sunshine and daffodils for them. They are going to be, and this is the issue with every 2A team, but I think especially for Panhandle, I don't think they have a ton of depth. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. in what is a typically bruising region, that can be a problem. So then you start looking at, okay, is it Post? Post was a team that surprised us last year.
Surprise regional finalists. It kind of came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. No one really mm-hmm. thought Post was going to – I think we all thought Post would be a playoff team, maybe one round, two rounds.
Well, they went from 2-8 to 13-1.
Post does this. Remember in 2020 yes. when they went from like 5-6 to 15-1? This is what Post does.
And I like this Post team a lot. They bring back 14 starters. I think they've got – although they have to – replace Ian Vergara, who was
the really productive running back.
2A's top rusher last year. So they have to replace him. Here's what I'm saying. It could be Stanford. It could be Panhandle. It could be Post. And it could also be like a total mystery. Like maybe Sunray replaces replaces Armando Luan.
Can I interest you in an oldie but goodie?
I know where you're going.
I like the big damn Lobos from Cisco. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this might be the year that's a retrenching year for the Cisco Lobos. I like what they got cooking over there.
I don't disagree with that. I look at Hawley too. I mean, look, Hawley is they've won 10 or more games in five straight years.
Mm-hmm.
Like
consistent.
Very consistent. And they bring back a good amount. They bring back, I believe it's 11 starters from last year's team. That's what I'm saying is that Region 1 does feel like the pieces are in place for a potential mystery mm-hmm. guest here. That like maybe the answer is simple and like Stanford runs it back. And maybe the answer is simple and Broxton Robinson is just like the best player in the region and they win the region.
Sure.
But also like don't be surprised if like Spearman shows up.
Yeah. You know? The mystery guest could be a key in Region 1.
Okay, Matthew, that leads us to what can only be described as, I think, my favorite region in all of Texas high school football. That's right. It's time to talk about 2A Division 1 Region 2, which is, if Region 1 is a mystery box, Region 2 is living as a mystery box.
Yeah, Region 2 has existed as a mystery box since UIL realignment. And if you recall, last year's official team of Tep and Step won this region, the Hamilton Bulldogs, who got graced by the good juju from Tep and Step in the week one Ice Bowl when Tep and Step went to Hamilton for a random neutral site game, and we blessed the football team with the good juju.
Gave it to them, and suddenly they had their best season in like program history?
I don't think Hamilton's ever played for a state championship, so...
Well, they made it to a state semifinal. Now, here is the thing. And there are going to be people who look at our rankings, and they're going to say, okay, so wait a second. A team wins their region, and you have them 13th in the state? It's twofold. One, Hamilton did get kind of hit by graduation pretty hard. Mm-hmm.
They did.
About half their team is gone, including, you know, a lot of what was their defense, which was... Defense. So good last year.
They gave Stanford, like Stanford mm-hmm. in that semifinal game could not pull away from it. I mean, it kind of stayed 21-7 for a long time, and Hamilton kind of made a game of it late, but they hung around. They were very good on the defense.
I got to be honest, that 2024 Hamilton team is going to be one of my favorite teams ever because mm-hmm. like they would just drag you into the deep water. Slowly and be like, come on.
The game that epitomizes the Hamilton season more than anything is that playoff win over Axtell when they won 15-14. Rock fight.
And I want to be clear, we will always have a special place in our heart for Hamilton. And also, I don't think they're winning the region again because I think that the region is too evenly balanced. Mm-hmm. And for all we like joke about how there's no like it's such a mystery box, there are good teams here, including a team within their own district, which is Deleon.
Yeah, or as the locals say, Deleon.
Deleon.
Yeah.
They look the part. I like the more and more I look at this Deleon team. You know, first year coach Brennan Whitaker, Heston Job, who we saw at State 7-on-7, mm-hmm. right? He was at 7-on-7, and we were just like, he's the real deal. We like DeLeon. And then, by the way, there is a guy who could lay claim to being the single best player in two, not just in Region 2, but arguably in 2A Division 1. It's our 2A cover boy, Buddy. Have you heard the good news of H.D. Davis at Wolf City?
Among the most productive. I'll tell you, H.D. Davis and Keegan Ash, 2A has two of the best running backs regardless of classification. Those two guys can absolutely roll.
Workhorses.
The thing about Wolf City, though, is that playoff loss, that shocking playoff loss in Godley, whose stadium is behind me here, to Coleman, I think mm-hmm. looms large. This is a Wolf City team that I think is good enough to contend for the region. but they don't have that playoff. This, last year was the year for Wolf City to kind of go two or three deep, and then this year maybe contend for the region. But they lost in the first round, so they don't have that playoff, that playoff magic, that playoff mojo that you need, in my opinion, to really make that deep run.
They bring back 17 starters, but I mean, you're right. Your point is well taken. Yeah. There's also two other teams that I would be remiss if I didn't mention. One of them's Axtell. This is a 12-win team from a year ago. They were the team that was on the business end of that 15-14 regional final.
That rock fight. They lost a lot, though. Craig Horn's a heck of a football coach, but they got gutted by graduation.
Yeah, they will be you know, thin in that regard as far as that's concerned. And then there's Corsicana Mildred. And a team that surprised us last
graduation.
No, they're pretty loaded. Mildred's got some juice. I'll tell you this. Mildred is a team that, again, because of the region that they're in, it would not be a huge surprise to see them playing you know, past Thanksgiving, simply because they bring back a good number. They were a 12-1 team a year ago. And they bring back Trent Harris at the running back spot, Luke McKendry at the quarterback spot. They got a couple playmaking dudes on defense like Baron Tatum. I like this Mildred team a lot. What I'm, what we're here to say is nobody knows what's going to happen in Region 2.
No, it's wild. And I think there's other teams that we haven't talked about that could be players in this region. Tioga.
Yes.
I think Frankston. Italy. Tepper, my like deep sleeper that no one's talking about, Rio Vista. I think Rio Vista is, if you want to talk about hipster team to put some, keep an eye on and put a lunch bet on or something with your coworkers at the office, Rio Vista. They look good at State 7. They've got some great looking athletes over there. That there's growth that's coming down from Johnson County in, into Rio Vista. I think Rio Vista, Axtell is the favorite in that district, but Rio Vista and Italy both have the pieces to do some damage. And then Frankston, they were kind of our darling last year, fell a little bit short of expectations. I mean, I even think, Tepper, I got Kearns third in that district. I think Kearns is a team that could, you know, second year under their head coach, they bring a good amount of talent back.
And Kearns got hot late.
Yep,
and they ran into Hamilton and lost 14-7.
Hamilton,
hang on.
Can we just real quick?
Yeah,
just for edification's purposes, can we relive that playoff run for Hamilton?
I'm gonna go and I'm gonna find it. Hold on, you are listening to live coverage of me.
I just pulled it up.
Run through the playoffs for me.
So round one, strong win over White Right, 49-13. Like,
yes, cool.
Then they beat Frankston 27-14. Which an offensive explosion against Frankston, 27-14. Then
I bet they scored on defense.
Then Kearns 14-7, Axtell 15-14, and then they fell to Stanford 28-13.
I want to say
even in a loss, it was a very Hamilton like performance.
I've not gone back and listened to the to our podcast from a year ago, like the state semifinal podcast preview. But I would imagine that the phrase "they can't keep getting away with it" was uttered. Because, like, Ham, I'm sorry. The Region 2 is going to be a lot of fun, but this is probably our last time to talk about the 2024 Hamilton Bulldogs. And listen, I just have to. It's been resting in my heart for
Ryan months. Marwitz says a 21-7 game is awesome. That's his opus, you know.
He's going home and he's writing that in his dream journal.
But I think to your point, 2A Region 1, 2A Division 1, Region 2, ton of fun. Yes. I think when the playoffs start, if you want to just find great football games every round of the playoffs, this is
physical football. It's a physical brand of football in Region 2. It's a lot of fun. So yes, I don't know. I guess now we'll move on to Region 3 where they got, you know, a lot of speed. Whatever. No, I'm kidding. I will say this though, because we move on to Region 3. I think Region 3 has four legit certified, would not be surprised to see them not just in AT&T Stadium, but winning the state championship in here. I think the top four here, in whatever order of Garrison, Wascom, Honey Grove, and Joaquin, I'm ready for like, I think region three has got the juice. And if you can come out of region three relatively healthy, this might be the power nexus of the entire class.
Can I add another team that is not in your top four, maybe number five? Hmm. I think Centerville is going to be really good this year. Mm-hmm. Like they quietly go through every year and we always think they're going to be good. We never have Centerville picked like sixth in district. We always think they're going to be right in the mix of the district championship. And Kyle Hardy does a great job over there. And, you know, they quietly just kind of put together good. Last year they went 9-2. 9-2 is a bad year for Centerville. I think they got Joaquin in the first round of the playoffs, didn't they?
Yeah. And so because remember, worth mentioning, Joaquin won the region last year as a fourth place team.
Yeah, they got lost to Joaquin 38-28. Centerville brings back 15 starters. This is a really good team. Mm-hmm. It's a fun region across the board.
It is. I really like what Wascom has. This is a team that I saw in person last year and was really impressed. They are so fast. They are like shockingly fast as a team.
Wascom is I won't spoil it, but I think they're really highly of what I think Wade Lawson in year two.
Yes.
They're going to be even more well-schooled in that system. And Wascom, they got dudes. They always have athletes. I'm hoping they have a guy named Junebug on their team again this year, because if they have a Junebug, you know they're going to be really good.
Absolutely.
Wascom is a lot of fun to watch. And I think, in my opinion, they're I'll go ahead and say that. They're my pick to win the region.
Well, I'll also tell you that because I look at Garrison, and I saw Brandon Alvarez at coaching school. And now Brandon Alvarez, I like him a lot. And also, he'll sandbag on you. He'll do a little bit of sandbagging. And he was like, oh, I don't know. We're going to see how we are, stuff like that. I think they're going to be really good. The 1-2 punch, Avery Yarbrough, and then they added like this junior quarterback, Riley McGuire, who was – he had to step in as a sophomore last year with injury and like really blossomed. I think him being the guy at quarterback is going to help them. The other thing about them, I think their defense has a chance to be like special. Like really, it was really good last year. They held Wascom to 13 points in their playoff loss. So then there's Honey Grove. Now Honey Grove did a great job of kind of reloading on the fly last year. They're going to be back in the mix. Their skill talent's going to be really good.
They are.
And here we are with Joaquin. Like again, like they were. Between Oakwood in 1A Division 2 and Joaquin in 2A Division 1, like two of the biggest like Cinderellas we've seen in quite some time. And it wouldn't be a surprise. Like now you talk about a team that brings back 12 starters from a year ago, including, I believe, all of their offensive line.
Yeah, and that's key in that slot T, because you know they know the angles, they know how to execute those blocks. They'll find a guy to tote the mail. Like Joaquin will – and I think they have a couple of guys. Cooper Bragg had 450 yards rushing. He'll probably be the guy that takes over full time as the running back because they lost a lot of their other guys. But you know, I don't worry about Joaquin finding running backs. They'll be fine. The key for Joaquin is going to be on the defensive side of the ball. Yes. Can they consistently get stops? That's what got them to upset Honey Grove in the regional final last year. Is they were able to contain Rylan Morris in that super explosive Honey Grove offensive attack.
Speaking of which, there's one more team I want to mention in Region 3. And it might be the Tep and Step cut the brakes team in 2A. Buddy, Beckville is going to score. Beckville is going to score in bunches. Jordan Prince, Braxton Bullock, they're going to score. Remember, they lost their playoff game in the area round of the playoffs to Shelbyville 75-48. They lost by 40. They scored 48 points and lost by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, they got DJ Barnes in that game. Yeah. And you know, Beckville and Garrison are kind of in the same boat. If Terry Bussey doesn't live in Timpson, Texas for those 4 years, Beckville and Garrison are probably sharing regional titles. They just couldn't beat Timpson those years. They've been very, very good. I think for Beckville, we know they're going to score. And much like Joaquin, it's going to be, can they get stops defensively? Can they make plays on the defensive side?
And I think that's why I really like – I think that might be what sets Garrison and Wascom apart, is that defense may, in fact, be the big difference in a region where everyone's got talent offensively. So that might be different. So then it goes to Region 4. And of course, this is where the reigning state champs Ganado live. It is worth, you know, spending a moment on them because they were like, when we say they got hit hard by graduation, what we mean is specifically they bring back only five starters from last year's team. Mm-hmm. And they lose, I think, three guys that you could say were, if they weren't the heartbeat of their team, they were close. In Bryce Ullman, who was the guy who's the quarterback and also had the championship clinching interception.
Yeah.
Landon Hicks and Luke Burris. Those three guys are special, special players. Mm-hmm. Now, Austin Pena, Logan Burris, they got dudes. Landon Arriaga is going to step in.
The cupboard is not there. And I thought Landon, you know, this is one of those deals where 7-on-7 mm-hmm. eased a lot of concerns about Ganado mm-hmm. because, you know, losing Bryce Ullman. Landon Arriaga did start, I think, two or three games last year for Ganado mm-hmm. as a freshman. And I think went through some growing pains against good teams, but I think he grew up a lot. Just watching him during 7-on-7, I feel like he really made a point to you could see the growth and the confidence in him and the offense. And I think that was key for Ganado. And I think that answered a lot of questions that we had about Ganado going into the season.
But they are not the favorite to win the region, according to Dave Campbell's Texas Football, those dum-dums over there. It is instead the Refugio Bobcats. And this is year two under Drew Cox as mm-hmm. the head coach. Mm-hmm. And they weren't bad last year. They went 11-2 and they lost 14-6 to the eventual state champs. Like, pretty good.
Not bad, yeah.
Now, they have to replace QB and RB. Well, kind of replace. They have to, they're always deep, but like Keelan Brown is gone to A&M Kingsville. Jordan King is their running back is off to the next level. Now they've got guys like Xander Wills, and then Ray Lewis is taking over a quarterback.
Yes, full-time. I think he was a running back kind of last year, so I would expect. I hear Ray Lewis, and I think of the Baltimore Ravens linebacker, yep. But I think what you're going to see is a lot of QB run game from mm-hmm. Refugio this year. And that's been the thing about Refugio in the Jason Herring years that made them so successful is they morphed their offense to fit the personnel. You know, when they right. had a guy, when they had Travis Castaneda, who they would throw 50 mm-hmm. times a football game, but they would also get in the I formation. They would really mix it up. So I think you'll see Refugio be a little bit of a chameleon and kind of morph their scheme to fit what Ray Lewis does well at the quarterback spot.
There's very few like known commodities in region four. We think that they're all good, but like Mason, for example, Mason, a longtime consistent perennial winner down there. Well, new coach, right? Mm-hmm. Coach Griffin takes over there. We think they're going to be pretty good, but they only bring back five starters.
They're young. They're gonna
a lot of questions there.
They're gonna be young, and I know we talked to Coach Griffin at coaching school, and he said a lot of the things they did, the scheme, they weren't gonna change a ton of it this year. They were kind of bits and pieces it. They're still gonna be learning a new coaching staff, new system, mm-hmm. and the youth. I think the youth mm-hmm. is really what has. Mason's gonna be good. Like they're kids. They always play tough football, but they're just in the wrong region, in my opinion, to be going through a little bit of a youthful retooling year. I think what you're going to see from Mason is probably like a 9-4 type season from them this year. I don't think they're a real regional contender just mm-hmm. because of the youth.
Do you think Marlin is a regional contender?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think Marlin is a regional contender. They did a great job in Jeff Rogers' first year. Rogers was already there as the offensive coordinator, so the kids knew him. You know one thing about Marlin, they are going to have dudes that can fly.
Yes.
They are going to be able to run. They are going to be able to be explosive and make big plays. And you look at Marlin last year, and this is a team that rolled all the way to a regional final a year ago, including they took down Mason last year 40-37, and they bring back 13 starters. And mm-hmm. talking to Coach Rogers at State 7-on-7, he's on the board. Marlin wasn't playing, but he was there. The numbers are a lot better in the program right now. They're getting more kids out, and they've got 13 starters back. And they beat Mason a year ago. So to me, there's no reason to think that Marlin can't at least get to the regional final where most likely they would play the winner of that Refugio-Ganado grudge match.
There's two other teams in District 15 that interest me. One of them is Weimer. Of course, they've got Jaron Fisher back, but the big question is going to be, okay, new coach, because Wade Griffin went over to Mason. What does that look like?
Yeah.
The other one, I want to buy a little bit of stock, just a small amount of stock, little penny stock here, in the short horns of Schulenberg.
Okay.
I consider me interested. Okay. New coach Clay Ferguson taking over a program, 14 starters back from an 8-win team a year ago, and they're going to be explosive on the outside. They're going to be real explosive on the outside. If they can find a quarterback to get them the ball, they're going to be dangerous. That, to me, I don't know if they're going to be dangerous enough to knock off Ganado out of the District 15, but like dangerous enough that like you don't want to see them in the playoffs.
Sure. My team to keep an eye on, I'm going to go with a team also in Schulenberg District. Watch out for Kennedy. The good doctor, Dr. Mike Jackson, leading his ball club. 9 starters back on both sides of the ball from a 5-6 bi-district playoff team in his first year. Listen, they've got a guy who we saw at State 7-on-7, Dylan Russell, at receiver. Mike Jackson's coached a lot of NFL players at Houston Chavez and some of his other stops at Lamarck. He's coached NFL dudes. He says Dylan Russell is the best athlete he has ever coached. As a freshman at State 7-on-7 this year, he looked the part. That guy's going to be a Division I receiver. Watch out for the Kennedy Lions. Dylan Russell's going to set some records if he lives up to his potential in South Texas. So I think Kennedy is kind of your sleeper, kind of hipster kind of team to watch.
Kennedy with one N, by the way. That's Kennedy right, with one N. Make sure you know that. Yeah. All right, Matthew, give us your regional title and state champion picks.
I really went back and forth in Region 1. I decided to go with the best player and go with Panhandle and Broxton Robinson. Region 2, I went with De Leon. I went a little off the board there. I think we could see 2 De Leon Hamilton matchups this year. I think we might see those two teams play in a regional final. Region 3, this is the one I went really back and forth on, but I'm going to go with Wascom. And then in Region 4, I went with Refugio. You know, I think we're going to get Refugio Marlin in a regional final. I think Refugio is going to exercise the demons of Ganado from the past 2 years and get to the regional final. And then in the state championship game, in a really weird state championship, I'm going to take Wascom over Panhandle.
Boy, that would be weird. Yeah. Oh, wow. You want to talk about two programs that do not know the other exists.
Like, who are you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. They're
Panhandle? The week of that game, they're both going to be looking at each other because Panhandle, I mean, is obviously in the Panhandle. It's way up there. And Wascom is as far east on I-20 as you can go without crossing the state line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it is right on the border.
Those are two communities on different planets.
Yes.
And
I'm here for that weird matchup.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Region 1, I'm also going with Panhandle. I'm not going to overthink it. 15 starters, including the best quarterback in 2A Division 1, Broxton Robinson. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go with Wolf City in Region 2. Let's full send HD Davis. That's it. I'm just in. I'm ready for it. Give me Wolf City in Region 2.
I would have picked Wolf City if they had not gotten beat in the first round of playoffs. I like what they have cooking. It's just the playoff experience concerns me.
I'm going to go with Wascom in Region 3. But again, that's maybe the toughest one to call. And then in Region 4, I'm going to go with Refugio. And the state championship game, give me... Man. Give me Refugio over Panhandle in a title game.
We both like Panhandle gets the state title game. So
I think, we said this last year. It's like the winner of Region 1 will be, in my opinion, a clear favorite over the winner of Region 2.
Agree.
So that to me is I feel good about that. But I could also see, I think a Refugio Wascom semifinal would be banging.
We a banger, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, it'd be awesome. Okay, and that's our 2A preview. 1A and 2A in the books.
In the books.
Let's go to Tiny V&A Moreno to find out what she wrote down. Hi, Tiny V&A Moreno.
Hey guys. Fantastic previews.
Hey, thanks. We tried hard this time.
It's Gordon's world, and we are just happening to be living in it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Stepp wrote a six-man story.
I did. Kind of a six-man story.
Six-man Jason.
I am ready for the Collinsville narrative.
I am. I'm so Collinsville. I'm so pirate pilled.
Collinsville pilled.
I'm pirate pilled. Yeah.
I think
Jackson Jenkins rocks.
Tank Scott, early nominee for Dudes Rock.
Tank Scott is a Dudes Rock nominee for sure.
We will see how many extra people are working at the brewery.
Yeah, and Shiner.
Realignment day. Yeah.
Realignment day. We'll know exactly. Like, we should just call and be like, hey, what's your payroll right now? We should just be able to like parse out whether or not they're going D1.
We finally got to the fireworks factory. Mm-hmm. Hamilton was graced by Tep and Step Juju. I don't know. That's a repetitive one.
That's Step, we need to. What's the game we're going to?
Lindsay and Santo.
Yeah, we're going to Lindsay and Santo. Yeah. So.
I think I was waiting for Hamilton to throw a parade for us last year.
I know. We haven't gotten the invite.
If they would have won state, we would have gone. Me and you would have drove to Hamilton for
We would have been the grand marshals of the parade.
Oh, yeah.
It's obvious.
Yeah. Then we would have eaten at Storms.
They would have won. They would have won the next game like 7-4.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Full Send.
Full Send HD Davis. Yep, that's it. This is the year Full Send HD Davis. I'm just not ready for it. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week with our 4A and 3A preview. But until then, thanks again to Cover Zero Analytics for being our sponsor. We love you guys very much. CoverZeroAnalytics.com. VNA Moreno, thank you very much.
Thanks,
VNA. Matt Stepp, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week for the 4A and 3A preview on Texas.
Bye.